Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what happened is, When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad chap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week. 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Styles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
I want to tell you about the first time I was 21 years old and I saw $6 million of cash right in front of me. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That's what $6 million looks like. Insane. How the hell can I get this kind of money one day? And the guy who had the $6 million was a Jewish businessman who owned dealerships in San Fernando Valley area. And he gave me an advice at 21 that completely changed the way I do business till today. By the way, if you get value from today's message, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Here's what this Jewish businessman told me. I said, how is it possible you got this much money and you're in your mid-30s, $6 million cash? He says, Patrick, there's one thing you need to know about Jews. I said, what's that? When one makes money, five make money. I said, what? He says, when one of us makes money in a business, five other Jews make money because we like to make money in groups. I said, so what's the benefit of that? He said, everybody keeps doing business together. He says, too many people, ethnicities, nationalities, cultures, backgrounds, they just want to be the one making money. They don't want anybody else around them making money. And then eventually they wonder, how come nobody wants to go into business with me? Because when you make money, nobody else makes money. So ask yourself the question. Number one, the person you're working for, does he make money and do you make money? And number two, the people that work with you, who report to you, if they give their best, do they also make good money the way you're making money? If the answer is yes, you're in a great place. Go do your part, and eventually you'll make your money like that Jewish mentor shared with this 21-year-old 24 years ago, 23 years ago. If you got value from this video, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. And if you've never watched the video, 20 Rules of Money, How Actually Money Works, click here to watch the video, 20 Rules of Money. Take care, everybody.
when you become homeless, you kind of revert into this solitude. It's humiliating. I find especially the women, we don't say anything to anyone about it. My name is Judith, and I've been living in my car at 72 years old since the end of February. Good morning. I'd like a medium-sized black... Okay. I'm not always this sweet-sounding, Eva. It's a facade. It's the first thing I do when I get up and start my day. I go and get a cup of coffee. And then I head across the street to this cemetery and organize my car for the day. Now, St. Mary's Cemetery is a local place where a lot of homeless people come to. I've seen a woman my age who is currently living in the trees over here. I'm a working visual artist. I have been my whole life. Once a woman is single and aging, she has no safety net, none. For the last 5-6 years of my work life, even with my Social Security, I was not able to pay a rent with that combined income.
What were you doing?
I was working as a cashier at the Market Basket. It's not safe living like this when you're older. You have to drive everywhere you need to go. If I'm going to have something to eat, I have to go someplace to get food. If I need to use a bathroom, I have to get in the car and drive someplace. We're at my storage container, and this is where I had the movers bring all of my belongings. A lifetime of work and collecting, and this is it. I kept my drafting table, and I tried to keep it open because I was hoping that maybe I could work a little bit from here, but it's ridiculous, impossible. This is a cabinet where I keep a lot of my stored goods when I'm home. This is my son with his first tuna, and this is my children when they were little, and this is something my daughter made in school, and here's our family portrait. Here I am on the Rowley site at apartments.com, and there's one rental available, and it's for $3,500. My budget pushing it is $2,000. No one is moving anywhere because there's no place to move to. Just like crying all the time. It's ridiculous. Just ridiculous. I don't know. I guess I expect more of myself. This is another adventure. I'm just too old for it anymore. I really understand that when you're in the middle of something, it feels like it's never going to end. But, you know, I can't find a place. I can't find a place. I've exhausted my resources. I looked in southern Maine, I looked in southern New Hampshire,
I looked in northern New Hampshire. I really looked at everything. I need help. Welcome things, welcome my cooking supplies to our new home. It's not quite real yet. I just expect it to go away at any second.
Is that you, Montgomery? Yes, it is. So nice to have you living with me again.
Every morning, I've had my coffee and sat here looking at where I am and everything, I just cry. I just cry and be grateful. Very grateful.
All right, today, our live stream videos, or not video, audios about, or podcast really, is based on the audio you just heard, and that was on a video that I ran across just a few hours ago, titled 72 and Living in a Car, 72 and Living in a Car. You can check that out on YouTube for the visual part of it. But I'm going to play this video, audio again. This time I want you guys to take notes because we're going to review those notes. And then we're going to talk about rapid rehousing solutions. And we're going to take a look at the Great American Desert and why that could be part of the solution for many of Americans. So, or anybody who finds their way over to the United States. So what we're going to do is let's see. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to play for 2 minutes. We're going to do our nine friends thing that we typically play here a lot. Because that's what one of the things that she's going to need to get this off, to reverse her situation. She's going to have to get some social capital friends to help her with her housing situation. So we're going to play that, and then we're going to go back into what you just heard, 72, Living in the Car. And I want you to take notes, because we're going to review those notes and come up with solutions, and then also one of the projects that we're going to be working on with you guys as well, offline, and you'll be able to see us online too, and I was discussing, I had a conversation with somebody in Uganda this morning, where we'll be working with some kids over in Uganda building things. So, all right, nine friends first, 72 Living in the Car next, and then remember, take notes, however way you take notes, pen, paper, on your phone, laptop, desktop, or whatever, but prepare to take notes when we play 72 and Live in the Car. We're going to play that within the next 3 minutes with first nine friends.
I say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars these is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, we finna fix this house. I said, what kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, these my friends. The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family going to live in there? Is they going to... I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Okay, so hopefully I'm getting mine out myself. Get something to write with and write on. And I want you to take some notes. I'm taking them along with you. Let me get my composite composition book out. And let's take some notes on this and come up with some strategies.
When you become homeless, you kind of revert into this solitude. It's humiliating. I find especially the women, we don't say anything to anyone about it. My name is Judith, and I've been living in my car at 72 years old since the end of February. Good morning. I'd like a medium-sized black... Okay. I'm not always this sweet-sounding, Eva. It's a facade. The first thing I do when I get up and start my day, I go and get a cup of coffee. And then I head across the street to this cemetery and organize my car for the day. Now, St. Mary's Cemetery is a local place where a lot of homeless people come to. I've seen a woman my age who is currently living in the trees over here. I'm a working visual artist. I have been my whole life. Once a woman is single and aging, she has no safety net, none. For the last 5-6 years of my work life,
even with my Social Security, I was not able to pay a rent with that combined income.
What were you doing?
I was working as a cashier at the Market Basket. It's not safe living like this when you're older. You have to drive everywhere you need to go. If I'm going to have something to eat, I have to go someplace to get food. If I need to use a bathroom, I have to get in the car and drive someplace. We're at my storage container, and this is where I had the movers bring all of my belongings. A lifetime of work and collecting, and this is it. I kept my drafting table, and I tried to keep it open because I was hoping that maybe I could work a little bit from here, but it's ridiculous, impossible. This is a cabinet where I keep a lot of my stored goods when I'm home. This is my son with his first tuna, and this is my children when they were little, and this is something my daughter made in school, and here's our family portrait. Here I am on the Rowley site at apartments.com, and there's one rental available, and it's for $3,500. My budget pushing it is $2,000. No one is moving anywhere because there's no place to move to. Just like crying all the time. It's ridiculous. Just ridiculous. I don't know. I guess I expect more of myself. This is another adventure. I'm just too old for it anymore. I really understand that when you're in the middle of something, it feels like it's never going to end. But, you know, I can't find a place. I can't find a place. I've exhausted my resources. I looked in southern Maine, I looked in southern New Hampshire, I looked in northern New Hampshire. I really looked at everything. I need help. Welcome things, welcome my cooking supplies to our new home. It's not quite real yet. I just expect it to go away at any second.
Is that you, my Tommy? Yes, it is. So nice to have you living with me again.
Every morning, I've had my coffee and sat here looking at where I am and everything, I just cry. I just cry and cry and be grateful. I'm very grateful.
Okay, all right, let's, hopefully you guys took some notes here, I did. And today's live stream podcast, at least our jump off topic is 72 and living in a car, so We just listened to Judith. Judith, at least at the time of this video or audio, as we here have here, she was 72 years of age, and she was living in the car. She had been evicted, so she had no place to go. But her car. All right, now, at least in her mind. All right. So some of the things that I pointed out, you guys might have pointed out some things different. If so, just give us a call and add in that contribution of what we've missed or haven't mentioned, 619-726-2945. All right, so Judith, age 72. All right, one of the things I just noticed is her morning routine is she gets up, gets herself together, then she goes and buys a cup of coffee. In my opinion, and there's nothing wrong with starting your day off with a cup of Joe, but she should, in my opinion, it might be more frugal and save on your cash, you can conserve on your money, if you will buy what you need to make your coffee, make your own coffee within your vehicle. Because her home, her house is right now, it's her car. So that you know, you save a whole lot more money in making your own than paying somebody else to make your cup of coffee. That's just me. Other homeless people go there. Now, what she could do, you know, because you have some real coffee connoisseurs, all right, because she might be going to Starbucks, you know, and a tall, you know, latte there might cost you about $5. What she could do is instead of buying, you know, sacrifice for a month or so and buying coffee and then buy what she needs to get some basic, you know, make coffee equipment where she can ground up her own beans and all that and then sell to people. Just food for thought. All right. Let's see. Next thing I took a note on is Social Security. Now, and that Social Security that she was talking about was coming from the government. You get a check once a month, whatever. I call that fake Social Security because real Social Security, and that's why I play Nine Friends quite frequently on here, is other people that can help meet your needs within that little comfort zone of friends that you have, or which is a community, and that's why I call it social capital. So she's relying on the government. See, people only go to the government when they don't have any other social, I mean, you know, they can't go to a friend or a relative or nothing like that. You know, that's, so she needs to build up, individual, real Social Security, which is people. That comes through relationships. All right, now, she goes out, she's got to go to places. If she wants to eat, she's got to go drive to this location. If she wants to go to the restroom, she's got to go to another location. Now, with the food, she needs to find a way that way she can grow her own food. If you get in touch with these other homeless people, I mean, you guys can get together. That's why I started playing as a regular thing on here, Jewish economics. And it doesn't have to be. It can be Amish economics or anybody, Mennonite economics, anybody economics. Get together with four or five other people and start a community garden. When you eat, five or six others eat. Okay? You got to think that way. Restroom, instead of driving to this place or that place, you can, with your nine friends or whatever, get together and build you a place where you have a private restroom, but you can also have a community restroom for people who come into the community. And you guys share the duties on keeping it clean. Storage. She's got to go to another place for storage. And some people, some families now, they're not supposed to live in their storage container. All right. Now, she's looked for places in Maine, New Hampshire, and she's looking in the right states, but she's got to change her thinking. Instead of looking for, you know, look for some land. Look for some land that you can buy cheap. Now, I want you to look up, when you get a chance, the Great American Desert. The Great American Desert. That's a region of the United States that contains just 1% of the population of the United States. Let's get a visual here. Imagine a map of the United States and the 100th parallel. Now, look that up online, the 100th parallel, which is a line, you know, and imagine something going from, once you locate on a map, from Canada all the way down to Mexico. That's the 100th parallel. Well, within that 100th parallel, there's the Great American Desert. Now, it's all not a desert region. But east of the 100th parallel contains 79% of the total population of the United States. On the other side, to the left or to the west of the 100th parallel region, which is called the Great American Desert, is 20% of the total American population. But the Great American Desert contains just 1% of the American population. And that's from Canada all the way down to Mexico. It's a region. And in that region, you're able to find more inexpensive housing and inexpensive land. I bought 10 acres of land, the actual price was $1,800 for 10 acres. But when you include the taxes and the transfer fees and all that, I paid $2,000 even. So that's $200 an acre for 10 acres. That was done within the Great American Desert, that region. Parts of it are in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, and the Dakotas, all the way up to the Canadian border, and like I said, all the way down south to the Mexican border. That, you know, borders Texas and the United States. That's where 1% of the population of the United States live. There are bargains there galore. But looking, and I lived in that area for 4 years. I went to college in the Panhandle of Texas, which that's all within the Great American Desert. Okay, and it's really not literally a desert in all those places. You know, when you get to the southern part of Texas, it's got desert and mountains. But I was up in the Panhandle of Texas where it's flat, not that many trees, and you can see forever. But there's a lot of prosperity there if you know how to work it. Anyway, but she looked in Maine, and she looked in New Hampshire. Maine, particularly Maine, has a lot of available land, and she could set up a, now once again, she's got a son, he's got a family, get together with some family social capital or with other people who are nomads, okay, because she knows other nomads out there that are living in their cars, buses, vans, or whatever. Pony up, once again, let's go by that's why I played the Jewish economics thing. When one makes money, at least five all together make money. All right? When one person buys a piece of land, well, get together with four or five other people. So, and then within it, let's say you buy 5 acres. All right? Each person gets an acre. An acre is the size of a football field. That's enough where you can build a nice size house. Doesn't have to be a tiny house either. Okay. You can have your own utility company based on renewable energy using solar, wind, you know, groundwater, rainwater. All right. Grow. Now, you can contain everything by yourself on that 1 acre and still have enough room to have a family compound, a guest house. A football field is quite enough. You can do quite a bit with just 1 acre. And if you don't want to be bothered with or even not even see the other four people, there's enough space there where you can do that. So it's only limited to your imagination. All right, but there's a lot of people like you, Judith. So what we, part of our mission statement for this year and here on out is essentially help people like Judith when we come in contact with them and throw out some ideas on, okay, here's how we can do this in your neck of the woods, and but they got to participate. This ain't no government giveaway. They got to participate. So on that note, I thought that would be an interesting audio to play for you guys today. And I just got a text message. I guess this is old news to some of you people. Lisa Marie Presley, the only child of Elvis Presley, passed away earlier today from cardiac arrest. And I don't think they have any updates on that, but yeah, tragic to hear that. Anyway, on a more lighter note, let's get back to the phone lines here. And so if any of you out there that are listening, because people listen to this podcast at various times around the world, if you need help, hit us up on our Facebook page, which is It's My House TV at Earth Wealth Forest. Our Facebook page is It's My House TV at Earth Wealth Forest. If you just put in It's My House TV, it'll pop up. And Earth Wealth Forest is where we'll be conducting some of our workshops, but we'll be conducting them in many places. Like I said, I was on the phone this morning with Uganda, and we'll be teaching kids how to build things there, as well as many other places. So, and then, Reba, if you're out there, let us know, because you have a project coming up on February 3rd. It's close, about a couple of weeks away. You know, this month of January goes by quick. Day-wise, it's long, but it just goes by quick. All right, so, okay, anyway. 309 area code, your mic is open. Hope we have better luck than yesterday. 309. Okay. Now you could have stepped away.
Oh, I'm here, brother. Did you unmic me? I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, because yesterday we had, I guess, audio problems. But, yeah, any comment on 72 and living in the car?
You know, you were talking about the coffee there, you know. We got a program that we're working. We haven't launched, but it is to support the countries that grow the coffee, but so that we can, you know, have coffee shops that are owned by veterans and owned by people, you know, but we could take the homeless and turn them into business owners. So we're looking at that because, you know, we had the Boston Tea Party, but now I got a friend that's wanting to do the Boston Coffee Party. And that definitely can solve a lot of problems. They can raise money. And, you know, I agree. But 72 years old living in a car, you know, I think that's where the United States is failing. Because in India, the families take care of the elderly. Here, it's a service industry, and we turn them into the service. So I think we need to show more love and compassion to our elderly. And they don't need to be suffering after they've suffered their entire life because they didn't have the amenities that you have today.
True.
The things that woman's went through aren't going to know and ever see. And And here we are having causing more problems, you know, and, you know, looking down upon that woman, her not having a place to maybe park her car, being harassed by the police. You know, if you look at the gas that it takes.
She's got to look for a place to park. Right.
Yeah, because they.
She's got to look for a place to park on a daily. Right. And then she's got to be concerned with that. And then maintenance. You know, eventually, you know, driving around, those brakes are going to wear, so you got to get the brakes repaired. Oil changes, new tires. And like I said, if she collaborated with five other people and got some land, then, you know, there might be a mechanic in a bunch. The skill sets are out there. There's people that, many people that are homeless are lone wolves. They don't have a social network that they can tap into.
That is true. And that's one thing that we were discussing in a meeting last night was when we're designing these little tiny villages, that we needed to have the some places like in California that would be outside, you know, Florida the same way, because it's warm most of the time. So have these places where that community can still come together, because the people that are on the street, the only ones they can count on are the ones that are on the street with them. It is their social network. And this way they don't feel out of place, and they can still sit there and hang out under a tree and have a good time and, you know, and talk to each other and stuff, because that is their social network.
Right.
And the bad part is they're worried about what they have and what somebody might take from them. So they got to watch their social network. They're always having their back, you know, always looking behind their back and making sure somebody ain't coming in and doing, you know, they're going to stab them in the back. You know, the sad part about people that are out on the street, you know, people think things are funny, and they light people on fire that are sleeping outside. You know, that disgusts me. I've seen so many things that people that have treat the people that have not like they're nothing, like they're an animal. These are human beings, and they need respect. They deserve to be respected, but you can't expect people to respect anybody when they really don't have respect for themselves.
Right.
And that comes down to that me, myself, and I thing. These are human beings that think of me, myself, and I. But being human thinks of others above themselves. And, you know, I think that was a good little article you found this morning. You know, I seen that you sent it to me at 4 a.m. in the morning. So I do know this man's been working on this all morning. Like you said, I found it a few hours ago.
Yeah, you'll appreciate it. Yeah, well, I've seen plenty of other videos where you have people older than her. There's people that are in their 80s that are living out of their car or van or what have you. So I figure there's a book titled Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. So I believe there are ways to help these people because they've got – they're self-reliant living in that car, van, or truck already. So that, give them credit on that. They've got working transportation, but if they just got together and, you know, like one of the things I took notes with, she was looking at some apartments that were $3,500 a month rent. Now, her budget, when she stretches it, $2,000 a month, so obviously she can't afford that. But there are places where you can buy land or, like I said, you get her $2,000 and she gets together with four other people, so that's five people. Five people times $2,000 is $10,000. Now, with that amount of money, you should be, let's say maybe a couple thousand, you're able to get into some land someplace. All right, that'll get you the down payment on some land, and it might be 5 acres. So each person gets an acre, you know. Or they can do it any kind of way. I mean, you can put 5 people on 1 acre and then maybe take 2 of those acres where you put cabins on there to rent out, and then everybody's receiving a monthly income off their rented out. So it's only limited to your imagination what you can do. But she's got more options than she thinks she needs. She, let's see, if I can't track her, then I'm going to track somebody down like her. And we're going to do some social experimentation here on taking, you know, their situation and then essentially, you know, because She's got something to bring to the table. But imagine, once again, if we had just 5 or 4 other people, that's $10,000 a month. You know, if you had, let's see, 10 people and they had a $2,000 a month income, you know, that's $20,000, I made a mistake here. All right. $20,000 a month, that's gross collective income with just 10 people. All right. But in the course of a year, that's $240,000 potential. So imagine what you can do with that potential. That's enough for everybody. If they're operating as a unit, start their own village. Okay, there's enough room there where everybody can have privacy. You can be away from the others if you want, but yet close enough in case you need some type of help, including medical help. 10 people, you know, 10 people, you can get into 100 acres, and each person will have 10. Give me 10 people. I'll get you 100 acres. And each one of those people will have 20 acres each. That's 20 football fields each. Now imagine what you can do with that. You can set up a joint individual businesses. And that's what the Amish and the Mennonite have done. But you don't have to be Amish or Mennonite. You don't have to be Jewish or anything like that. Anybody can do it. It's just, you know, $2,000 a month for one person, you know, things might be kind of tight. However, one of the things in my new rotation now is when one makes money, at least 5 altogether make money. That, let's just use it as the threshold. So we'll be doing things on that. Chris, give us your website. And after that, we're going to knock off early for the day.
Okay. It is, you don't have to put the www in, so it's hopeforhousing.org. And the phone number is 309-542-6319. And we are still looking for 26 cities this year to be able to do a building challenge. So we need the churches. We need your youth programs. We need just the community itself to step up and want to claim the problems that you have in your city and let us bring the solution to you. We have 24 cities so far, and I look forward to, I think February 3rd will be Chicago Reba's event. It'll be at the Grand Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
There in Chicago, everyone's welcome.
I like that. You just sent me a design the other day of this house, and on the top of the house, that's a very practical, and it was on stilts. That's a very practical building. Very practical.
Yeah, we could do a 400-square-foot platform and then put a 200-square-foot platform of a greenhouse on top of it.
So you don't have to worry about creatures. You don't have to worry about deers or rabbits or anything like that eating what you grow. I love that design. So, matter of fact, I like to participate and help building one of those.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking that maybe we needed to do one of those on your property there.
Yeah, let's do that. You know, let's do that because you said it's 400 square feet. The house is 400 square feet. And then the greenhouse on top of that is 200 square feet, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's doable, and it's on stilts. So, yeah, I like that's very practical. Very practical. Yeah, we'll definitely do that. We can do that on what I call that 4 acres. I call it Earth Wealth Forest. And then within that, we have Earth Wealth Energy Village, or E-Village. But we'll definitely do that. All right, on that note, we're going to knock off early today, and everyone have a good weekend and rest of this month.